listening to the Rainmaking Podcast. Hosted by high-stakes headhunter, author, and professional speaker, Scott Love.
This is the Rainmaking Podcast, and my name is Scott Love, your host. Thanks for joining me on the show. I think it's interesting that we can learn from other industries in other fields that don't have anything to do with client development and see how we can apply those lessons to what we do in professional business-to-business sales. Our guest today is Lee Coffey. Now, he's served on active duty for a very long time in a very interesting role in healthcare. He's a professional speaker. He's a coach. I think you're going to get some great ideas from my interview with Lee today that's going to bring some insight into how you perform at a high level, especially if you work on a team. If you're a rainmaker, you have to function at a high level. If you have a team of colleagues, they have to function at a high level. And I think as you lead them, you're going to get some ideas from Lee that will help you improve your effectiveness in that area. As always, this show is sponsored by Leopard Solutions, Legal Intelligence suite of products, Firmscape, and Leopard BI. Push ahead of the pack with the power of Leopard. Thanks for listening, and I hope you get some great ideas from my conversation with Lee Coffey today. Hey, this is Scott Love. Thanks for joining me on the Rainmaking Podcast. Our guest today is Lee Coffey, and we're talking about high-performance teams. Lee, thanks for joining us on the show today.
Thank you, Scott. Glad to be here.
Now, we put your bio on the show notes about your active duty service, but you've really lived it in terms of having to lead a team with high-performing. Really, it's a critical area where they have to perform at a high level. But tell us a little bit about that, especially with what you did at the Walter Reed Center. I'm kind of curious about your background on that, Lee.
Well, thank you. As a young paratrooper at Fort Bragg, I started learning, you know, how to develop the Army's model of leadership. But truly, my father had demonstrated it for me many years prior to include, if I may share at least one story. He was taking our family on a family vacation to a local amusement park, and he had told me to be at the house at 9 o'clock. And I said, okay. But I had some spare change in my pocket from my little grass cutting entrepreneur gig. And so I decided to run to the store and get some penny candy. And I got back after 9 o'clock and they were gone. And So when I sat there on the porch for about an hour waiting for them to come back, I figured they went and got gas, but they hadn't. When they came back home later that evening, he said, son, when I tell you to be here at 9 o'clock, I mean, be here at 9 o'clock. So that helped me be on time all the time throughout my military and post-military career. I was truly the youngest surgical intensive care nurse at Walter Reed Army Medical Center back when I worked there. And I loved that experience because it was at the cutting edge of innovation and technology. And we were doing what we call telemedicine, even way back in the 80s.
Wow. So, wow. No kidding.
Yeah. Back in the 80s. And as a young 23-year-old, I managed 17 paraprofessionals. And so I learned to build a team, first of all, they have to trust you.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and if they trust you, then they're willing to communicate with you. And if they communicate with you, then you can pretty much talk through all the issues you need to talk through. So that's how I began to build my brand as a person who understood building high performance teams is if they trust you, they're going to work for you. They'll follow you pretty much even off a cliff.
Yeah, right. And let me ask you this, starting with trust. What is it that people that are leading teams need to keep top of mind? And most of the people that are listening to this show, they might have a small team. They might be a partner in a firm that has a team of associates, or they might run a small business. So it's a small group. They can't hide in the numbers. What is it that people need to think about really to build that trust with their team?
I think a couple of things that don't be so ego invested in saying it's about me, but it's more about we. And also have some emotional intelligence. I mean, it's talked about a lot, but you know, being able to really know thyself and say, you know, maybe I don't agree with how Scott or somebody else on my team is working. And just to be plain, I worked for a 2-star general at one time, and he had made a decision that I didn't necessarily agree with. So I had shared with him my opposition to his course of action. And when I shared that with him, he changed his course of action. And it took me a couple of weeks to muster up the courage to go back and say, boss, why did you do that? And he told me, he said, Lee, don't be so ego invested in your decision. If you surround yourself with a team of smart people, you need to take their advice. And if you don't, you're too ego invested in your own advice.
Yeah, I think that makes sense. Was that the story that was in the Conversations on Success book that you talked about? Yeah, okay, I remember that. And I remember that he made some significant decisions that affected a lot of people just because of your input with him.
Yes. So
do you think trust has to go both ways? I mean, I know the obvious answer is yes, but what's the significance of that? And how do we get our people, you know, how do we really build the trust both ways?
I would think it's a dance, like the tango, you know, and the tango, which is a beautiful dance, but at times you will lead and at times you will follow. And so if you have left your ego at the door, even though you're in charge, when you're in charge, you know you're in charge. So you don't have to walk in and say, I'm in charge here today. But you can walk in and talk to the team, create that psychological safety where the team feels I can share with my leader what my thoughts are. And that leader will receive that in the spirit of collegiality and not, if you're asking a question, ask it from the standpoint of trying to learn, not to challenge.
Yeah, right. And that's something I learned being a junior officer. Here I am an ensign, the same as a second lieutenant. And I reported aboard the ship, and everybody that worked for me was older than me and had been in the Navy. My chief had been in the Navy longer than I'd been alive.
Right.
And it was an interesting relationship. And I learned that the first thing I would always do would be say, Chief, what do you think we should do? Mm-hmm. And I'd make the decision. And then I also learned that you can have the authority, but that's not the same as the respect. Mm-hmm. And the respect has to be earned. And the sailors I had were the saltiest, toughest sailors that would test junior officers. They would push them to try to, okay, I'm going to go ahead and gun deck it, just forge it. It's okay. No, we're not going to do that. But I learned that by leading that way, you earn that trust with them. When they know that you're not going to you take the shortcut and lie on something, then they actually would trust me more, which I thought that was interesting. So they're observing, aren't they? I mean, it's like leaders live in a glass house, don't they, Lee?
Yes, I think that they do. And we got your Navy background. I've got my Army background, but I'm going to bring in the Air Force, if I may, and we're going to aim high. You know, it's like, have you ever seen a one-winged bird fly?
Never seen a one-winged bird fly.
Right. Hopefully you won't. But for a bird to fly, it needs two wings. And I believe the two wings, to take a team to its highest level, you need trust as one wing and communication as the other. And if you can have that trust with open communication, I think the team can move to that area where they can discuss issues, stay committed, and then get results. Because if you're a high-performing team and you don't get results, you know, you're probably not a high-performing team.
Yeah, right. So how does a leader manage uncertainty? When we look at all the different things that have happened in the last 3 years, you know, who would have expected Russia to invade Ukraine and all these consequences that we didn't even anticipate? You know, it's almost like you don't know when the next natural or man-made disaster is going to occur, but you know something's going to happen. Mm-hmm. How do you lead in those times of uncertainty, Lee? What do you think about that?
Well, what I think, first of all, is when in charge, take charge. In concert with what we've talked about, though, use the wisdom of the crowd. You know, asking those people who you trust that are on the ground who might have some insight, and then apply, you know, be decisive. When it's your turn to make the decision, don't hesitate, because that's part of being a leader. You have to make the tough decisions. So use the wisdom of the crowd, listen to them. But at the end of the day, you own the decision if you're the leader, and you need to be decisive.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. What do you think has changed since COVID in terms of managers and executives leading their teams, a high-performing team? What have been some of the changes that you've seen in the last couple of years?
Some of the changes that I've seen in different organizations is the autonomy that have been given to people that were, you know, sometimes the person that works in a call center or works in an office that could do the work that they could do at home. I've seen some leaders prior to that were reluctant to give that responsibility to their team member because they believed, I got to see Scott every day to make sure that Scott's working, even though they could look at the metrics and say, Scott is really doing a great job. And so giving them that autonomy, I think, has given some leaders a awareness that they can trust their team to do the work that they've been hired to do. So, you know, give them the autonomy, hold them accountable, of course, is important. But I think what I have learned as a leader during that time period is that I can trust my team to do what they say they're going to do. When they raise their hand and said, I want to work for you, that they will actually do what we said to do.
And how would you recommend, let's say there's a manager or a leader that has one of their colleagues that's just not performing, for whatever reason, they're just not getting it. They're not putting whatever the metrics that they need inside the funnel. how does a manager or leader really communicate that to their employee? They've got to have a tough conversation. Lee, what would you coach them on?
I would coach them on being open and honest. This is what I would ask the leader is, how have you diagnosed, you know, what have you diagnosed with that person? Or, you know, it's called situational leadership, actually. Is the client or the employee able and willing to do it? It's kind of like a skill will conversation. Are they able and willing? Are they able and maybe unmotivated or unwilling? Are they unable but willing? Maybe they don't have the proper training, and or are they unwilling and unable? And if that's the case, and of course, you've got to have that real difficult conversation. But all of those areas would require me to sit you down and say, Scott, here's what I notice as an opportunity area for you. What resources do you need? What support do you need? Mm. What approach will you take? Mm. What are the benefits, Scott, of you doing the job? What are the barriers? And then what opportunities do you need? You know,
so you're actually leading through question asking, right?
Yes, by asking questions, because, you know, Scott, if we again can keep our ego in check, most people are whole, resourceful, creative. And if you give them the opportunity, they'll, you know, just give them a moment and say, well, what do you think about this attorney search group that we're looking at growing? And if I just be quiet, you know, wait a moment, Scott will answer the question.
Yeah, interesting. So by leading that way, I think, and I know just from having had people I've managed before, you want them to have ownership.
Right.
If it's their answer, right? If it's their answer, they own it, don't they?
Right. Ask for their help and encourage their involvement. And at the end, they say, we did this. And, you know, I think Gandhi's quoted, I am their leader, therefore I follow them.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, right.
So if you can just, the challenge that I found and I learned the hard way is sometimes my ego would still get in the way. And I wanted to be, look at how I did it, and as opposed to just delegating the responsibility to the team member. And even though they would do it differently, realize that we all make peanut butter sandwiches differently.
Yeah. Yeah,
but if it's still a peanut butter sandwich at the end of the day, it still can be a good thing. So
that's great. That's great. Yeah. So let's just say there's a firm that has one of their partners or an executive or somebody in the firm who's a significant contributor to the firm, has this ego issue. And this hubris just gets in the way of that person being effective in terms of leading their team. And this is something I've seen, because with my work in the legal industry, I deal with a lot of very successful partners, and they always have to have this client-centric persona of, I have all the answers, because they have to have all the answers when it comes to their clients. But sometimes that permeates when they're dealing with everybody else. And they don't seem to have this self-awareness. They don't have this emotional intelligence like you talked about. Let's say we've got somebody like that on our team, and we need to have a tough conversation about their ego getting in the way. You're coaching an executive. What would you coach that executive to say to get that partner to kind of take the ego off and look at it from a different perspective?
I would begin with coaching that executive. And really, I would coach the executive. I wouldn't try to coach the third chair, but I would coach the executive to asking how do they approach the individual. Are they willing to open the conversation by saying what's important and why? If that person is, their hubris or arrogance is yeah, they're bringing in a lot of money, but we're losing a lot of money.
Yeah.
I would ask them, you know, have to start the conversation by what's important, on why we, what's the reason for us gathering today? And then clarify again the business need for us to have this conversation and the business impact. So by asking, what's the business need to have this conversation?
Yeah.
And if we don't have this conversation, what's going to be the business impact? Like loss of business, you know, somebody taking their firm, some other company who's kinder, gentler, more emotionally intelligent.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then open up the conversation to let that person discuss how they arrived at their way of being, how they felt, what makes them think that they're aggressive. You know, confidence means full trust in. So I want you to have full trust in your abilities. But if you're so confident that you're not just assertive, but you appear aggressive, that's counterproductive.
Yeah. Yeah. That's exactly right. And I think that what we're seeing now, what everybody's seen with the great resignation, was it wasn't as if all of a sudden people became bad leaders. It's all of a sudden everybody had options.
Right.
And they could finally go somewhere because of all the bad leaders that they had to tolerate, because, you know, they couldn't leave. And that's what I think, and I posted this on LinkedIn several times. I say that your organization does not have a retention problem. It has a leadership problem.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can get the leadership figured out, you're going to improve the retention. You're going to improve the commitment and what I always call the emotional equity
We want people not just having a financial stake, but an emotional stake. They want to feel like they're owners, even if they're not owners in that organization. So tell me then, what do you think are some of the danger areas or pitfalls that could be easy for us to slip into that us as high-performing leaders of teams, of high-performing teams, what are some of those things we need to pay attention to and watch out for?
Well, I think one of them is when we normalize deviant behavior. You know, if you talk about that aggressive person or that person who's got too much ego, continue with that conversation. I would, after that individual has said what, you know, what their response is to how they're behaving, I would make sure we agree that the behavior must stop.
Yeah. Wow.
And then also that we agree that you have the choice now to stop the behavior. And if you choose not to, here are the accountability steps. We're going to give you 30, 60, 90, 120 days and watch you. But if you continue this behavior, we'll have check-in points. But if at the end of that, whether it's 30 days, 60 days, or 90 days, depending on how egregious the behavior is, if you are released from the organization, it's because you made the choice to continue your poor performance, bad behavior, rude behavior, whatever was really, I mean, we wouldn't have the conversation unless we need to, but if we have to, we're going to.
Yeah, that's good. And then document that too, right?
Right. Yeah. Document.
And seek your labor and employment council as well.
That's right. That's right. Soon as we sit down the first day, August the 30th, 2022, I'm talking to you about this behavior and asking, let's clarify and confirm you understand what the business need for you to change your behaviors and what the business impact will be if you don't.
I like it. The business, what did you call it? Determine what was the business what?
The business need.
For them,
the business need
for them to change.
The business need for you to change. And here's the business impact if you don't change. We've lost customers. We've lost money. You've lost your source of employment. That can be a significant business impact. So,
and I think this is actually, this is a really good way. What you said, the way you're describing this, this kind of takes the focus away from me and you having a conversation, Lee, you know, you need to change. It's like, I'm not the bad guy. The result is the bad guy.
Right.
If you don't change, then there's a business need for you to do so. And this is what's going to happen if you don't.
Right.
And so I like that. I like how you kind of bring it to where it's inclusive of the team will feel the impact. The team will be hurt.
Right.
And this is why. And this is the business need for you to change. And this is a business impact if you don't. I like the way you set that up.
And if I may offer one more key issue is, I learned this as a senior drill sergeant when I was managing 9 drill sergeants, put the stress between the person and the task and not the leader and the person. So if I'm your leader, Scott, and you've got a behavioral issue, I'm going to put the stress should be between you and your behavior. And not between you and I. I'm still going to take you to lunch all the way up to the day that I tell you this is the last lunch we're having because you never changed.
Yeah.
So, and I'm paying for it today because you're not going to have a job tomorrow. You're going to need all the money you got.
Have you ever had to have those kind of conversations with people?
I have. And that's where I was going. Not many people enjoy releasing somebody from a firm, even if they're a bad actor.
Yeah.
So, you know, to keep the stress off of my back, I want to make sure I've informed you. I've checked in with you. I've confirmed that you're making progress. And I confirm when you're not saying, hey, bud, we're still not there. Whomever that is, bud being budette, male or female or whomever.
I get that. I like this model. I mean, this is actually a brilliant way to communicate these difficult things to people that are on your team because they need to be on your team. They're on your team. They need to change. And I like the fact that you put the pressure, the stress between the person and the task and not the leader and the person. And I like the fact that you can keep a harmonious relationship with this person up until their last day.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't have to end the relationship when you have that sort of conflict. It's just most people don't really know how to articulate that, which I think what you've offered is a big solution for that, Lee.
Right. Because the person owns their behavior. So it's a choice that they make. And I want them to, you know, have full control over the business outcome, if you will.
Yeah. Tell me about someone that you've coached in your coaching business where you've seen them change for the better. You don't have to mention their name, of course, but what would be an example of how you saw a visible change and how they led their high-performing team?
Well, it was a vice president at a corporation that had a high-performing team, but they were not willing to have that difficult conversation. That's really, as a matter of fact, Scott, we just had this conversation last Friday, so that's why it's top of mind. And they acknowledged to a room full of people that when I first started coaching them, that they were just, even though they had the power, you know, organizational and legitimate power, they still did not have the confidence to have that difficult conversation. And so through a series of us talking about the business need of having the conversation, the business impact of them not having the conversation, and then just reminding them, you know, look at all your other accomplishments that you've done. Remember when you had fear going into maybe moving away from home or getting married or whatever it was, and you pushed through that fear and arrived at the outcome. So you want to push through the fear of, I don't want to have this conversation.
Yeah, right, right.
Just realize, you know, you're a smart person. So have the conversation, and you don't have to be angry. You know, you don't have to be angry to say your behavior is not aligned with our core values. And that's the other thing that I helped this person realize. You don't have to put the stress between you. The organization has core values. If those core values are really important, use that as the, put the stress between the individual and that core value, not between you and the individual.
Yeah.
And so they were able to do that, and they received a positive outcome. They retained more than one employee that they were initially wanting to get rid of, because they then turned around and did some coaching, and everybody was, it was a win-win situation.
That's great, Lee. You preserve the investment that yes. people make in their teams.
Oh, my.
That's what you do.
Yes. Yes.
This is great, Lee. So let me kind of, as we come to our conclusion here, what would three action steps people can take today that they can really start implementing these ideas and be more effective in leading high-performing teams?
Okay. One, I would say create that psychological safety environment where people are feel comfortable to talk openly, build trust, build an environment of trust with your team. And then also don't be so ego invested in the outcome that you think that I've got to do it all or I've got to lead always through it, but I can also delegate and use my emotional intelligence. What do I know about myself?
Yeah, that's great. That's great.
Yes.
Was that one, two, and three? Because those
yes,
were...
Yes, sir. If I go over one, psychological safety would be the first one. Build that environment of trust. Yep. That's number one. Number two is don't be so ego invested.
I get that. That's important.
Yes. And then three, trust your team. Listen, if you're the gatekeeper or final decision maker and you hire the person, you should trust that you hire, you know, you either hire right or manage tough. So you should trust your decision-making in the hiring process because you select, you know, it's a lot of top talent out there. And if you select the right person, then trust that person and empower them to do the job you hire them to do.
That's great, Lee. Those are great ideas. Create that psychological safety environment. They feel comfortable to talk openly and build that environment of trust.
Yes.
Don't be so ego invested in the outcome and trust your team. Those are great ideas, Lee.
Yes.
So tell us about your offerings. What would you like our listeners to know about what you have that can help them?
Well, I'm an executive coach, and that's what I offer. I mean, I am a certified professional speaker, and I can come in and deliver professional speaking services. Coaching is what I enjoy doing as much as professional speaking because I can help a person. You know, you cannot optimize organizational effectiveness until you maximize the potential of every human being on the ground.
Yeah.
And so my working with leaders to help them understand, how do you maximize another person's potential? And I'm gonna go back to my drill sergeant days. I was a senior drill sergeant. I had 9 working for me and they used to tear people down. And I told them anybody can tear somebody down, but how do you build them up?
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. So, and my moniker is get your coffee early.
Yep.
Lee.coffee@2rescue. That's TORESCUE.com. That's how I can be contacted. I am on LinkedIn and I have a website called www.TORESCUE.com.
And we're going to put that on the show notes as well as your email and your LinkedIn link so that people can reach out to you directly. Lee, thank you for being such a great guest on the show. I want to have you back on here in the future. You've given us some great ideas. And thank you so much again for your time, Lee.
Thank you, Scott. Get your coffee early.
Thank you for listening to the Rainmaking Podcast. For more information about our recruiting services for international law firms, visit our website at attorneysearchgroup.com. To inquire about having Scott speak at your next convention, conference, sales meeting, or executive retreat, visit therainmakingpodcast.com.